What's up, y'all? It's Thomas Houck, and you're listening to Breakfast with the Gators.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Tell your family and friends as we ramp up towards the start of the football season. We are officially prepping for Florida Atlantic. Game week is next Monday. Six different personalities joining while our schedules allow. All six graduates of the University of Florida and diehard fans. And tonight, we're thrilled to bring you guys an exclusive interview of Florida men's basketball head coach Todd Golden. Again, we're part of the Stadium Miguel Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, and they are a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. And you give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust and estate planning. Now here's Todd Golden. We are thrilled to be joined by one of the brightest minds in the sport, the 2025 SEC Tournament Champions, 2025 National Champion, 2026 SEC Champion, and our favorite coach on campus, Todd Golden. How are we doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. I appreciate that intro. Very nice of you. And it's great to be with you guys this evening.
Well, hey, I wanted to, does March 23rd, 2022 ring a bell to you? Does that date mean anything?
Pretty sure that's either the day I got hired or the day of my press conference.
It is. So let's, I want to play a clip from there and just kind of a young kid at 35, 36 years old when he took over this job and how you had this vision for this program, how it's kind of come to fruition 4.5 years later.
A lot of people have asked me, what do you expect to see teams, should they expect to see when the Gators take the floor next year?
Oh.
I try to explain it. You should there expect to see a big, strong, deep roster that has a lot of skilled and unselfish players that are willing to put the team in front of themselves.
I mean, that is almost verbatim what you have built and what we got on the roster this season. Coach, I mean, just take us back from that moment as a young kid coming from San Fran to Gainesville, and now it's accurately portrayed as you guys, you know, will be the preseason number one team most likely.
You know what? It was a big part of why when we had opportunities 4.5 years ago to look at some other jobs, that Florida was a no-brainer for me, because we felt like Florida was the type of place where you could recruit championship-level players that are really well-rounded and not just great talents, guys that are kind of the full package, really good basketball players, but also great people, really good academically, and guys that you could really work to kind of band together and create something that's bigger than ourselves as individuals. And obviously our year one wasn't that. We were kind of trying to figure out who the right people were in the program to keep around and who we needed to replace. But I do think the second year was a good start that direction. And obviously we were a little young and we had Micah and Tyrese, but with Kondo and Tommy coming in off the bench, you know, we started kind of instilling that mentality, comparing it to football, kind of that smash mouth mentality. Like we wanted to keep bringing guys running waves of depth and physicality at you. And we played really, really well second half of the second year. And then really, obviously, in year three, winning it all. And then last year, getting another one seed, we've been able to continue it. And my hope is this year's team, it'd be hard to get to the same level as the team two years ago. But obviously, that's our goal. You know, our goal for this team specifically is to win a national championship. We're not afraid of talking about that. And, that's obviously what we're gunning for this year.
Coach, I remember in year two, after losing kind of a heartbreaker in overtime in Tuscaloosa, they were the SEC champions twice in the last 3 years before that. They went to the Final Four that year. But when they came back to Gainesville, we wore them out, and there was no backing down. I remember just being in the stands, you staring down Nate Oates, the guy that was kind of at the mountaintop of the conference at that point. And that was – what felt like the game that the program kind of turned a corner. Is that a game that you look back on as a program-defining win at that time?
Absolutely. I think there were two wins during that regular season that were really important for us. The first one was at Kentucky, winning that game in overtime after we had lost the opener at our place. To go there, and obviously Walt hits that big shot at the end of regulation to send it to OT, and then we play really good ball, you know, the last 5 minutes. And I don't know if we won comfortably, but we knew we were going to get that thing done. And I think that was a really big win for our belief, just for the guys that what we were trying to teach and what we were doing was working. you know, anytime you go into Rupp and get a win, I think that's really good for validation. And then definitely the Alabama game, we played very well at their place. We could have, should have, would have won that game. There was maybe a call or two down the stretch that didn't go our way that sent it to overtime, and we didn't get it done. To your point, it was a really good team. But then fast forward, you know, we get them at home. I think it was senior night, and we played about as well as we could play. And I think we scored 100, and the place was jumping. I think that was the first time we played Tom Petty in the O-Dome. So that was pretty awesome. Also got that thing going. And then, you know, playing Alabama again in the conference tournament, you know, a week or two later, and having a similar effort. Because you're right, at that point, Alabama was probably the premier program in the league. They were playing very, very well. And, you know, Auburn and Kentucky were right there. But, you know, those two wins kind of solidified what we're doing. And obviously the success we had in the back half of league play that year, you know, and falling a little short in the tournament, but we felt like we were headed the right direction.
Coach, you mentioned that you guys scored 100 on Little Nate Oates and the Alabama Crimson Tide. That was one of the first times you guys scored 100 on them. But not just with Alabama, you've kind of come in and really dominated Tennessee and Kentucky, and, you know, now Coach Calipari's over at Arkansas. But what was it that you were able to come in and just take on these giants who had been dominating the league for the last 10 years, really? And really, you know, they were making Sweet 16s. You know, Tennessee wasn't reaching the Final Four, but others were reaching the Final Four, and you were able to come in and take them over and to really solidify yourself as the dominant force in the Southeastern Conference.
Well, year one was a learning experience for sure. You know, I think when we get opportunities like this, we feel like we're ready and we know what we're doing, and we had a good idea, but I learned a lot in year one, and just how difficult the league was and kind of the everyday challenge that you run into. And as you guys know, there's no nights off in the SEC. Obviously there's teams that are better than others, but you can't kind of sleepwalk in any game and expect to win. And so just kind of getting the understanding of what it took in the league, I think that gave us a great understanding of how important the depth is and the size and the physicality. So showing that clip, we already knew, but it was like, all right, we really need to fix this, because we didn't have that in year one. And so once we got that, and then obviously we've done a really good job of finding undervalued talent in the backcourt, you know, with that team specifically. The two guys were Zion Pullen and Walter Clayton. Bringing both those guys in, Will was obviously the year before. You know, Walt was kind of a known commodity in that portal period. I think Kansas really wanted him. It really came down to us in St. John's, because he's a really loyal guy and, you know, didn't fall in love with the fanfare of recruiting and all that stuff. But Zion was one that was kind of under the radar. I don't think a lot of people knew about him, and coming from the West Coast, you know, he's playing in the NBA. The guy's a really good player, you know, so getting those guys on board with the front court and the depth was a huge step in the right direction. And then seeing the success we had in the back half of year two, you know, continuity was a huge piece in year three, same as it's been every year for us, and continuing to make sure we have the depth, because you're going to have some injuries. You know, that year we won it, Kondo got hurt, Walt missed a game, Elijah missed a couple games. You know, last year we were pretty healthy, you know, but Micah missed a few games, Tommy missed a game down the stretch. Anyways, you need that depth to begin this league. And I do think that's been a big part of why we've been able to be successful.
Coach, you know, the topic of the offseason has been the player retainage with Tommy Kondo and how coming back. But I think what people aren't looking at is how unprecedented it is that your coaching staff, how loyal they've been since you came to campus in 2022. Carlin Hartman, Corey McRae, Torian, Sapphire, Victor Lopez. I'm probably missing a few other guys. But they've all been here since you've gotten to Gainesville. Just that kind of speaks volumes about yourself as a head coach. And what does that mean to you? That these guys, they probably had offers elsewhere, and they remain loyal to be on this staff and being Gators.
You know, the way we, you know, the way we recruit, or the way that I try to get guys, you know, to want to come to Florida, like I'm not begging them to come here. You know, like I'm not calling them every hour on the hour. You know, I want guys that jump in. You know, I want guys that want to kind of evaluate the opportunity we have and make the conscious decision that they want to be Gators. And the same goes for our coaching staff. You know, and as you guys know, one of the great things about Florida, one of the many great things, is it's just an awesome place to work. It's a great place, you know, to be a part of a great program. And we're at the point now where, you know, the opportunities for guys to leave have to be really, 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 really good. You know, 2 years ago, Kevin Hovde and John Anderjack we're both itching to be head coaches. We won a national championship. There wasn't really that much for them to accomplish here as assistants. And that was kind of the next natural progression for them. Speaking about Carlin Hartman and Corey McCray, specifically, like, those guys could find head jobs. If being a Division I head coach was their only goal, they would have been gone, you know, a couple years ago. But those guys, like our players, understand and appreciate the opportunity. They understand and appreciate, you know, that what we have here is hard to replicate elsewhere. And, you know, Carlin is, you know, and Corey, they're both, you know, decorated veterans, so to speak. And I think they realize the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I think they have a burning desire to be head coaches. And I think they're going to be really successful whenever they take that leap. But leaving here is hard to do, because when you leave, there's no guarantee that that next opportunity is going to be as good. And with where we have it right now and kind of the trajectory we continue to head on, I think guys feel like they need to know. They need to have a great understanding of what this next opportunity is going to look like for them to leave what we have going on here.
Now, are you more relaxed in the offseason this year with the player retainage and now the coaching staff as well? Just all these guys, the year four in the program, you got Zell back. They're kind of leading the summer workouts and your five-week program you got. Does that make you a little bit more comfortable? You can be more hands-off in these moments.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a big part of our kind of offseason is, you know, when we have the opportunity to bring back Tommy, Kondo, Ruben, bring back Zelly, who obviously was in our program for 3 years and has a great understanding of how we operate. And then all the other guys have a year, right? Like Irby's had a couple years, but then CJ, Loido, you know, Isaiah Brown is a couple. All these guys have been in our program. They understand. Like there's no confusion about, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis and what we expect from our players. And so we did put a little more on the shoulders, especially of the three seniors, you know, Ruben, Kondo, and Tommy. Zell is more of a quiet leader. You know, he just brings a great effort every day. You know, but those guys understand. So we kind of tapered it back. I think all of us, from myself all the way down, you know, we're a little fatigued at the end of the season. We didn't get much of a break after the national championship year. We had to get back into recruiting and roster building. And there were times last year where I felt like we were a little fatigued. And after the year, I think we all just needed a little bit of time off. And I think we all were able to achieve that over the spring and summer. And now I feel like guys are chomping at the bit to get back to competing against other teams.
There's been a lot of seesawing back and forth in the courtroom this offseason with Denzel specifically. I know every team in the country is dealing with who's going to be eligible and who's not. How difficult has that been for y'all to navigate, and what's your confidence level that Zell is ultimately eligible come November 2nd? And what does his presence being back in the locker room mean for the team on and off the court?
Yeah, it hasn't been much of a distraction for us at all, because we as a program, as an administration, as a staff, made the decision last April or whenever the portal was open that we felt he had a great chance of being eligible because of the inconsistencies in not only the eligibility rules, but the redshirt rules between the different levels of the NCAA. And I'm not going to get into too much of that yet, because he still has, you know, some things he has to work on after the Colorado motion got stayed last week. But, you know, I think for us to kind of have the understanding of what this team was going to be, for Denzel to be able to come back and get started working towards his undergraduate degree, which he started doing in June, in the summer, you know, the summer sessions. You know, I think just all of us felt like that was the right ending for his story specifically. You know, he's a huge part of our national championship team. Obviously, the negotiations, for lack of a better term, didn't go well. And, you know, we went our separate ways. But I think the great thing is both sides were humble enough to admit that we could have each side handled it better. And he wanted to finish up here. We wanted to be here. And I'm really confident that he's going to be part of our team and playing this year.
We've touched on a little bit of the guys who are returning this year, but you're also bringing in some new prospects from Europe. And for even the most diehard Florida basketball fan, it's tough really to get a gauge on what you should expect from a guy who's been playing, you know, in the Barcelona system or wherever to come in. So if you had to compare those guys to the typical transfer portal or, you know, recruiting system, how would you rate them? What do you think is a fair expectation for those guys coming in to contribute to the program this year?
That's a great question. I'd start with Arturis Butaivis, our player from Lithuania. You know, I would say if he was going to high school in Florida last year, he'd probably be somewhere between, you know, a top 25 and top 50 recruit, you know, somewhere in that range. You know, he's 6'9", 6'10", really good size, physicality, has skill, ability to shoot it from the perimeter. Very, very good prospect. Now, he's also a freshman. He's young. So I think it's going to take him a little bit. But he's definitely played his best basketball this last week and a half since he came over to the States. And I would say he's making great progress, you know, every day. And he's a guy that can earn, you know, playing time as a freshman, like Tommy Ercondo did a few years ago. Doman Petrovic, you know, is the other Slovenian guy, Slovenian student athlete that we brought in, a little older. I think he's 21 or 22 right now. So I would think of him more as a mid-major all-league player that transferred up to the SEC. He's a guy that played very, very well in on a youth contract in the Slovenian league. You know, he's 6'9", he's 22, he can really shoot it, really good basketball IQ, good feel. You know, has some similarities to Irby in terms of like great IQ, always in the right place at the right time, a guy you can rely upon. So, you know, he's maybe, I don't want to say he's more ready necessarily, but I do think him being a little older gives him a little bit of an edge and a little bit of an opportunity to maybe crack in a little earlier. But both guys have, you know, had really good summers. And I do think we'll get good contributions, you know, for both of those guys over the course of the year.
Coach, you guys have put in a lot of prominent out-of-conference games, tournaments during your tenure here. Arguably none bigger than December 1st when the Duke Blue Devils come to Gainesville. Been to a lot of great atmospheres during your time, even growing up during the Billy Donovan eras. But with the loss last year in Cameron, what's the excitement level inside the locker room when that game got announced?
I think everybody was really happy. You know, we felt, I remember you were sitting right behind my team during that game. So you had a pretty good opportunity to be involved in that, in those huddles. But you know, that was like some of the other early games last year, like we felt like we missed an opportunity, you know, in Cameron Indoor and got off to a good start. And then we did not play well and let them get out to that lead, right before halftime. But we came out with a good mentality in the second half, and I felt like we did a good job chipping away, getting ourselves back in that ball game. And obviously, anytime you have a 2-point lead with 30 seconds to go or 20 seconds to go, whatever it was, you want to find a way to win that game. You know, but they made a play, and we, you know, screwed up a coverage. Next thing you know, they're up one, and we don't take advantage. But we all felt like we let one slip, and we were all hoping that we would have an opportunity to host Duke. And obviously, you know, I have a great amount of respect for John and his program and what they've been able to do. I would consider them, you know, like us, one of the best programs in America over these last couple of years. And I think the SEC wanted it. I don't know if the ACC wanted it, but I do think college basketball wanted that matchup. And it's going to be an incredible environment. I think you can already see how much people want to be at the game. If you go to StubHub, I think, you know, there's some seats up in the third level going for $600, $700, $800 already. So, it's going to be a great game. And to me, it's kind of what college basketball is all about. When you have an opportunity to play in an SEC-ACC challenge and host a prominent program like Duke on your home floor, it's a pretty unique and pretty awesome opportunity.
Coach, this has been awesome. We really appreciate your time. We just got one more for you. You're a full season removed from winning a national championship, and you've joined a very short list of coaches that have won national championships in the revenue sports. You won a title faster than any coach in any sport in the history of the University of Florida outside of Urban Meyer. The only other guy who's won the national championship in men's basketball has his name on the court. Have you gotten the chance to really sit down and think about the legacy that you're building amongst the greatest coaches in the history of this school? And what does it mean to you to be on that short list of elite coaches at the University of Florida?
Well, when you say it like that, it kind of gives me some goosebumps, and I start, you know, just pinching myself a little bit and, you know, just thinking about all the hard work that, you know, my staff and our players have put in since we've been here to kind of build this up. And also, you know, there's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for what we've done. You know, I think we've had a lot of donors that have stepped up and have really kind of met the match when it comes to NIL and rev share and allowed us as coaches the opportunity to build teams that we feel like can compete for championships. Without them, we don't do that. And also our administration, you know, because this has been a really unique time in college athletics where things that have happened over the last couple of years wouldn't have been dreamt about, you know, even 10 years ago. And, you know, for Scott and Amy and Duke Werner and their staff to be willing to be mobile and understand that things are changing in real time and, you know, not being stuck in their old ways has provided us opportunity to do this. Now, my staff and I and our players have done it, but there's a lot of people that have helped us, you know, be in this arena. And it's awesome, man. It's what we as coaches hope to be able to do. And, you know, to be honest, man, I just hope we're getting started here. You know, the Natty was awesome. The 1C last year was awesome. But we feel like we have a lot of work left to do and a lot of great things left to accomplish here at Florida.
Awesome. Coach, real quick, I know you got to go, but rapid fire. 3-point contest, who's winning, you or Walt Clayton?
Dude, I love Walt. He's an incredible shooter, one of the best I've ever seen. But if we're just talking about 15 shots head up, I mean, I'm not giving him those flowers yet. I'm going to make him do it in our gym first. I think he's going to be back in Gainesville in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to let him know that you threw that out there and I'm going to challenge him. And he better be able to get me now that I'm 41, but I'm still prideful. I think I'd give him a run for his money.
All right. All we request is video evidence. So shoot that over to us. So if that takes place. Toughest road environment in the SEC.
Oh man. Toughest road environment in the SEC. Tennessee has been a huge challenge for us. You know, I think that's the only place we haven't won. And we have had two poor efforts there. So we play there again this year and my hope is that we get it right. But that's been our biggest challenge so far.
Best course you played this offseason. So you at the Bears Club down in Jupiter. Where else tops the list?
You're trying to get me in trouble. I would say Sawgrass and Congressional were two others that were up there with Bears Club. But Bears Club was fantastic.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Coach. We greatly appreciate all your time. As you know, we're huge fans. So is the rest of Gator Nation. And we wish you the best of luck this season and all the future success that's going to come. So thank you very much. And go Gators.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, we have a lot of respect for you guys and appreciate all the love that you give our program. So appreciate y'all. And we'll be seeing you, I'm sure, at the first football game here in a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Go Gators. Yes, sir. Go Gators.
Well, thank you guys for listening to our interview with Todd Golden. Awesome stuff. Make sure you leave your comments on our YouTube channel or on Twitter. You can follow us there at BreakfastWTG. Give us your thoughts on what Coach had to say. We'll be back next week with a season football preview. Aaron Filo is named the starter today. I don't think that's much of a surprise to a lot of Gator Nation, maybe to a few, but we'll be back next week. It's probably Sunday night, Monday morning. What we're anticipating. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube page, Spotify, Apple. Make sure you leave us a comment. We greatly appreciate your support, and we'll see you guys soon. Go Gators.
Go Gators.